Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentlemen's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, say some words to the people.
Hello, this is me speaking.
I'm now no longer asking you how you are ever again.
That's fair.
Because no one knows this, because nothing was released 2 weeks ago, but we did begin recording an episode in which I asked you how you are. We had about a 2 or 3 minute conversation about how we were reclaiming that and it wouldn't be bad luck anymore. And then about 3 minutes after that, you got a call and you had to go to the hospital.
Yep. That is exactly what happened.
So I won't be saying that anymore. We flew too close to the sun 2 weeks ago. As I said, we recorded about 7 minutes of an episode. We had reviewed one single match on that episode, and then it ended.
Yep.
And so that's why we didn't have an episode 2 weeks ago. But now we're back, and we are back with our year in review episode a little bit early. But because of the timing, we will not have a show in 2 weeks for the holidays, and then we'll be back in the new year. So this will be our year-end award episode. We have all the usual awards, which we will get to after we make some plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. Follow Kelly at ComicGeekKelly. Follow me at TayMambo. You could tweet at us and tell us whether we should move over to Blue Sky or not.
Subscribe. Would you like us to zeet at you or skeet at you?
It's up to you. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Audio. So let's get into it. We are going to do all the award categories mirroring what the Wrestling Observer does. We're going sort of from the bottom up here. So smaller, I would say probably smaller awards first. And then to the big time, we'll have all our matches of the year. But the first category is Best Booker. Now, Kelly, it was interesting. I was looking at some of the picks from last year as I was getting ready for this episode, and this was a category in which I abstained last year, shockingly. But I did not abstain this year picking Tokyo Joshi, which I believe is Kota who books it, but not entirely sure. But it would be the Tokyo Joshi booking, really the first year. I don't think I've ever given them Best Booker. Because they've had a number of very frustrating moments throughout the years. And it feels like they really righted the ship, did some good things. Now, this could all change depending on what happens with Daisy Monkey into the future. But I thought they had a very strong year booking-wise. Wasn't quite reflected in the numbers, where they had some shows that were probably a little bit less attended than they would have liked. But I thought story-wise, elevation-wise, they did a very good job this year. So they were my easy pick. Kelly, I believe you're going to mirror my thoughts now.
Yes, I am also going with Tokyo Joshi. It just, they nailed the Miyu title run so much. You have to give it to them. Yeah, you got to give it to them. They nailed that. They've really just kind of, everything fell into place with her title run so far. And I think they've just handled that incredibly well.
So the next category is going to be three choices. It is going to be major show. So Kelly and I will bounce back and forth here. Kelly, what is your number three pick for show of the year?
My number three pick is Marigold Summer Destiny 24. That one had the Io Sky versus Utami match and the Sari versus Julia match, but also had a pretty solid enough undercard. You had the Miko Aono United title win, or United National title win, sorry, where it was basically one big match of her beating Mirai and then her beating Bozilla. From what I remember, a decent Superfly title match, and it felt like a big show. So it was this was like the first of the big Marigold shows, wasn't it?
I think it was arguably, or maybe not even arguably, their biggest show.
Yeah.
I would say of the year, but also of their company history.
Yeah. So it felt like a big deal.
Yes. This was one I considered. I didn't pick. It probably would have ended, I don't know, maybe would have made it into the top five. If not, would have been very close. But my number three pick was Tokyo Joshi Grand Princess 24. This was the show that had the very fun Ryu Mizunami Yuki Aono tag match, as well as Miyu was on that show. So just a show I have very fond memories of. I thought the whole show was pretty fun and really liked it. Not the top show, and not the top show for Tokyo Joshi, not to spoil my upcoming picks, but a show I really enjoyed and had fond memories of, so that made it to number three. Kelly, your number two.
My number two is Stardom, The Conversion. This show really over-delivered in my eyes. Like, I wasn't expecting a ton out of the Micah Xena main event, and that rocked. You had the Saori and Miki Iwata match that ruled, the losing unit must split 10-man tag team elimination match between Queen's Quest and Wato Tai, which, while it had kind of a dumb finish, was a good match overall. The Goddesses of Stardom match that opened the show was great. Like, just all around a card that really over-delivered in my eyes.
And my pick, I'm the same as Kelly. I also picked Stardom The Conversion for my number two pick. I mean, the big thing was remembering that opening Goddesses of Stardom title match, which was so good. Remember being very pumped about that. I do have a match on this show in my match of the year top 10. So I will say that as well. So overall, a very strong show. Easily my favorite Stardom show of the year. So that was my number two pick. And Kelly, We have the same number one pick as well, which I guess I'll go ahead and spoil, and I'll let you go first.
Oh, okay. It's Tokyo Joshi Pro's Wrestle Princess 5. You had the killer match to cap off the show between Mio Watanabe and Ryo Mizunami. You had Raku versus Ram Kaichou. You had the Aja Kong, Max the Impaler, Palm Harajuku trios match. Ami Sakura versus Shoko Nakajima. The Daisy Monkey versus 1-to-1 million match. Like, this was just an awesome show all around. And Tokyo Joshi kills it with their big shows. Like, just, there's no other company that does, besides, honestly, DDT, that does their big shows as well, I think.
You know, it's funny. I mean, we voted it for number one show of the year, so it would still be number one. But besides the Yuki Arai, Moka Miyamoto match, like, if you sort of took that out, I mean, that top five, top four of this show is very strong, all very good matches, all different kinds of matches.
Yep.
So just really strong. I had forgotten that the Arai Miyamoto match was even on this show. when I was sort of looking at the card and I was like, okay, I love two of these matches. I really like two. And I was like, oh yeah, that match also was on the show, which was not a bad match, but was well below sort of the level of the rest of the upper card here, but really a strong sort of the peak Tokyo Joshi, what they can deliver in terms of different types of matches, all on one show, all on one big show, things that feel big, things that are fun, stuff like that. So yeah, this was my very easy number one pick.
Maybe the most underattended show, where it's like, where'd all you fuckers go?
Yes, correct.
You should have been here.
Well, maybe they'll all be at Wrestle Princess 6.
Maybe.
We'll see. Maybe they'll know that they missed out. The next category is Rookie of the Year. Kelly, I'll let you go first.
So I have Bozilla, but now it occurs to me, she counts, right?
Well, I think the rule, I think like the Wrestling Observer rule, is they're a rookie if they sort of show up and it's like, oh, they've been wrestling for 3 years, but no one's known who they are, and they're like somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that's sort of been the fudging, like, sort of a rookie.
Yeah.
So I'll allow it.
Okay.
It's our Bozilla show. We can exactly do whatever the hell we want.
I've got Bozilla as my choice. She really just appeared on the scene and was just this instant monster star where it's like, oh, okay, I don't know where she came from, but she's fucking awesome. So, like, there was no other wrestler that just had that kind of immediate impact for me. So I had to give it to Bozilla.
My pick for Rookie of the Year was Rana Yagami from Stardom. I know that she started technically in the very end of 2023. I think she started on Christmas Day 2023. So I don't really count that. That's 5 days.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
I mean, just feels to me clearly the highest skill level of all the rookies that Stardom all of the sudden found all over the place. And they're all very good, or they've all been very good. But I think that she's been clearly the one that has most impressed me, you know, sort of looking around there. You know, Tokyo Joshi didn't have a lot of strong contenders because I think a lot of their strong contenders came last year. So to me, was the clear pick. Have really enjoyed watching her wrestle, think she will get much better, but she is my pick for Rookie of the Year. The next category, most underrated. It's funny because I was thinking about picking Saya Iida, and then as I was putting my list all together today, saw that she won the tag league in Stardom. So I thought, well, can she really be underrated? Because underrated really means sort of like under pushed.
It does. But honestly, I still fair because she is nowhere near as pushed as she should be.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was considering it. I was debating it. I had another pick, which is the person I ended up going with, who sort of felt like I could have also gone with them. And then once I saw that, I was sort of like, well, she is sort of getting a push now. So it feels a little weird on the day that it's like, she won the tag league. Oh, she's under pushed. Like, that felt weird. And my obvious pick, anyone who's listened to the show over the past, 2 years at this point, will probably know who I will pick, and that would be Kaia Torabami. Someone who I think is very skilled and does absolutely nothing. Like, what if... Here's a question for you, Kelly. If Kaia Torabami retired right now, what is her career highlight?
Oh, God.
I can't think of a single thing. I can't
probably
think of anything.
Her first victory.
Like, the career highlight would be like, she wrestled.
Yep.
So, yeah. She just seems an obvious pick to me. Look, and as I always say, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if she walks in and says, I don't want, you know.
Yeah.
I have my stunt woman career, and I don't want to care about this all that much. Like, I'll come in and I'll be a body, and they're like, great, we have someone, and we don't have to worry about paying some freelancer more than we pay you or something. I have no idea. It just seems very strange, especially now in a company that sort of needs more people to step up, that she just sort of putzes around all the shows.
She just walks into the office and they're like, hey, have you considered we give you the Princess of Princess title? And she's like, nah, I gotta go be a Power Ranger.
I mean... It's a career. Kelly, your choice.
My pick is not entirely under pushed, but the poor woman gets her love from under her the second she gets any sort of momentum. It's Mika Iwata. She deserves better. Like, just anytime it's like, damn, things are going well. She's going to have this great run. Oh, no, lost the title. Right. Okay, cool. So someday things will work out for her.
I just think, hey, she did better than she's ever done this year. So,
she did.
You know, it's like accepting the crumbs.
Yeah, it's very much, she deserves better.
Yeah, I would agree. At least it got a little bit better this year. She got a little run. She got a little feature, you know, considering what she's had in the past. You know,
yeah,
that's all right. We'll see what happens now that Mako is at least back. I don't know if she's going to be booking the company after she retires. I would assume she would.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would assume she would still be involved even if she's not wrestling, but we'll see.
Mako somehow books herself to be champion after she's retired.
I mean, weirder things have happened. The opposite of most underrated would be most overrated. Kelly, I'll let you go first.
Hate, all of hate, just get them out of here. Stop putting them in matches that I want to see it. I'm done with it. It's driven me away from stardom so hard. Just, I hate these little weirdos that are somehow worse than Waito Tai. Ugh.
You're falling right into your trap because you hate them. And that's,
I know,
the name of the,
oh,
that's,
man,
the name of the game.
Getting such great heat, brother.
They're working you.
Oh, I'm so worried.
My pick, and again, will probably not be a surprise for anyone who listens to the show, would be Mai Sakurai. You know, now, you know, tag champions, or tag champion, I should say, in Marigold. Just someone, I don't know, I don't see it.
No.
I don't see it. I know a lot of people do. They find the, like, rich person, 1997 WWE style rich person gimmick very funny.
Yeah, Taylor with the big peasant energy right now.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go eat a lot of cake backstage. Oh, what a great wrestler she is. Amazing. Yeah, I just don't have any use for it. And that's my pick. I've been very clear about that in the past, and I'm still very clear about it. So there it is. Next category is best flying wrestler. And I think in this category, Kelly and I sort of picked the two people split amongst ourselves.
I feel like we both flipped a coin and it's like, yeah, and the other one.
We didn't consult. And I'm looking at the list being like, yep, Kelly sort of picked my other pick. And I probably picked Kelly's second choice. So my pick, Starlight Kid.
And my pick, Suzumi.
It is one of those categories where
it's just kind of a given at this point. It's going to be one of these two.
You know, there were some other categories where I was like, oh, I vote a lot for the same person. Let me do something different. But this one, I'm like, can you name a third person, Kelly, who you would pick for best flying wrestler?
I thought about Vaney and Mio Momono.
Okay. See, because Vinny, I don't really think of as flying. I know she does some dives and stuff,
yeah,
but I don't really see her that way. Who, you know, maybe a third in tribute to her absolutely insane attempt in her quote unquote first match, Hummingbird.
Yes.
For trying that insane tilt-a-whirl head scissors.
Yeah, that fucking she bolt concussed up pretty herself good. On.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, maybe in the future she'll be one of them. Hopefully.
Yeah.
There just aren't a ton of flying wrestlers that you can choose without being
the
like
line. The flying wrestlers are so good. It's hard for anyone to catch up to them.
Yeah, exactly. So sort of a, you know, obvious category, but that it is what it is. Maybe next year we'll have a brand new favorite flying wrestler.
Maybe
Marigold will debut some incredible flying wrestler. We'll see.
Maybe Tokyo Joshi will pick up Yoshihiko and they'll strap him to a drone and it'll be a literal flying wrestler.
Maybe. We'll have to see. The next category, best brawler, another category where I don't know. There aren't a lot of like brawlers. This is sort of a strange category. I picked Bozilla just because I don't know if it's probably brawling is the right way to describe her, but, you know, sort of a rough and tough wrestler, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
And I thought had a very good year, so you know, I hadn't picked her for rookie, so wanted to get her on the list. So best brawler seemed the good place to do it.
Yeah, and I went with her best opponent, who was Sari, because I think you can say that Sari is a brawling wrestler.
Yeah, I would say that she has a ferocity in the ring that sort of feels like brawling. So I could see that.
Because like I think I would have gone with Julia had she not retired.
Yeah. Interesting you'll say that. We'll get back to that point shortly. But there isn't like a Sandman of Joshi where you're like, oh, no. Yeah, this person's a brawl. Like they're going to go out and they're going to brawl all over the place.
Like in a perfect world where she works to her gimmick and is actually a good wrestler, it's Natsuko Tora.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I thought of like Mayumi Ozaki.
Yeah, she would definitely fit.
I don't know. Something about that felt strange, so I didn't do it. But that would sort of be a idea. But that was best brawler. So the next category is best technical wrestler. Last year, both Kelly and I had Shuri, and this year, neither of us have picked Shuri. That was my first thought because, of course. And I was like, I can't. She didn't really do much.
No.
So I picked Tomoko Inaba just because I really like her. I don't know that she had a great, like, incredible year. She did some fun stuff. I always like seeing her. I always think that she works hard. She's sort of fun in that technical vein, similar to someone like Shuri. So I thought, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went with someone who really upped their technical wrestling game in the past year and has really become more of a complete wrestler for it. And that is Mei Suruga. I think it's very clear she has been working with Chris Brooks on submission stuff. Like, so she has, it's a bigger part of her game. I go back to the, she had against Sayaka, where she was basically just picking her apart in a way that I've never seen Mei work prior to that. So she's put a lot of work in to become a good technical wrestler, and I think she's just going to keep getting better.
The next category was most charismatic. Kelly, I believe, going with the same pick in back-to-back years.
Probably, yeah.
Kelly?
Unagi. Like, come on, you gotta. She's charismatic as hell. The crowd loves her. Like, she's booking her own shows and making Korakuen look crazy awesome. Like, it's her. She's the most charismatic to me.
I think I was slightly biased by me doing a little bit of review for this show. I picked Mio Momono just because I think that she has a great energy. She has a great connection with the crowd. I think she's a very fun wrestler. So I went with her. I think she's someone who is very deserving of awards and has been for many years.
Yes.
Now that we've been doing this show for almost 5 years, talked a lot about her in the past. I think she's always been really good, has continued to be really good, sort of doesn't get the platform always that probably someone of her talent should have in the wrestling world at large, which is the case with many Joshi wrestlers, but especially with her, because I think she's very good in-ring wrestler, but also very good at the extracurricular of wrestling, like connection with the crowd, mm-hmm. you know, energy, selling, things like that, that are, take someone from, oh, they're good in the ring, to like, oh, this is a really special wrestler. So I think that's her. And I think one of those is she has a charisma, she has a connection with the crowd. So she is my pick. Next category is most improved. Kelly, I will throw it to you.
So typically, I think for this category, you see a lot of young wrestlers who could have been almost in the rookie category and then improved a lot. But I'm not going that way this year. I am going with Miyu Watanabe because I really think she has improved so much in this title run. She's really just becoming a more complete wrestler by the day. And I still don't think we've seen her at her peak yet. Like this, we're watching someone level up and evolve so much here. And I really think that needs to be recognized. So that's why I went with her as most improved.
I went totally different. I went with Manami from Sendai Girls, you know, was in the 5-star Grand Prix this year, and I enjoyed her there. Someone I had sort of enjoyed watching, I guess, but hadn't really thought much of, liked her in the 5-star Grand Prix, and then she was in that tag match last month, a couple weeks ago, with Aja Kong and Seri, and I thought she was really great there.
Yes.
So just someone who I think is very improved, really has some, you know, has something a little bit more, doesn't feel so much like, oh, this is a rookie who's just been sort of hanging around for years and is going to lose all these matches. You know, she has the call or whatever she calls it when she
I'm
goes
screeching love her honor.
So she was my pick. I think also don't have a lot of Sendai Girls on my award lists, so wanted to get someone from Sendai Girls in because I thought Sendai Girls had a pretty improved year. I'm interested to see what next year looks like now that they will have a full year of being on Wrestle Universe under their belt. Hopefully they can get more of their shows live up there. I believe they're doing that more and more, which is good to know because I think that they could be another strong promotion. You know, they have a lot of talent, but I think a lot of the issue, like with many Joshi companies, is just access. And having that access, I think a lot will open a lot of people's eyes to how good the promotion is.
Mm-hmm. And they got the tape backlog fixed, so we're not like a year and a half behind like we were.
It's all coming together. Maybe 2025 is the year of Sendai Girls.
It might be.
Now, Kelly, my next category, the first thing I'm going to do, because I could not think of anything.
I was struggling with this one.
Name me in this category any other option we would have had except the two that we have listed. And the category is Feud of the Year.
I guess Hate versus Queen's Quest.
It just feels like there's no like.
No, this was a bad year for Feud. Okay. I was actually considering Miki Iwata and Sari Ano.
Yeah, that was one. As we were just talking, I was like, I guess that would be one. But again, that was like so short.
Yeah.
It
wasn't a good year for feuds.
I feel like we struggle with this category every single year.
Mm-hmm.
My pick, which was not even a feud, was Stardom versus Marigold. Which I did indicate with a question mark because I could not think of anything. I was like, I don't know. It was sort of fun that Marigold was born and we had this interesting, like, will Stardom disappear from the face of the earth when they steal all their wrestlers?
Yeah.
That was sort of interesting. So I guess I voted for that because I could not think of anything.
Rossi versus the Bushiroad office.
Yeah. You did have a pick, Kelly.
Yeah. I ended up going with Miyu Watanabe versus Ryo Mizunami. It isn't much of a feud, but I think with the amount of storytelling they did in the match that kind of went back to their past and just the buildup of Mizunami over these past years and having Miyu finally kind of overcome her in a rivalry that we didn't even really know we needed, you know, I think it was just such a good use of using your company's past that I had to go with it as Feud of the Year.
Well, a solid pick, better than mine. So maybe next year, Sendai Girls, they'll be on Wrestle Universe and they'll have a great Feud of the Year.
Maybe.
We'll see. Next, we are going to talk our matches of the year. We each have 10. We'll bounce back and forth like we usually do. Kelly, I will let you go first with your number 10 match of the year.
My number 10 match is from Stardom back in February 17th. It's the New Blood tag title match, Saeeda and Hanan versus Chan Yoda and Mai Sakurai. This match fucking ruled. Like, they just went out there and worked so much harder than they needed to and beat the shit out of each other. Like, this is my Sakurai's best match by a mile. Like, I loved this match so much. And it's just like, where did this come from? Why did these four just decide, all right, we're going to go fucking kill it in front of this Kuroken crowd today for whatever reason? But, like, this match rules. I still think about it every now and then. Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, it's just like, maybe I should have ranked it higher. But I don't know. I love this match.
I had the same match as my number 10 pick. We were matching. I liked it as number 10. There was probably, I had a list going. There was probably 6 or 7 other matches that were similarly ranked for me that I probably could have put in this number 10 spot, but I really liked that it was sort of this weird out of nowhere match for the New Blood tag titles, which don't really matter.
Yeah.
It was just a very random thing. So I think it's a fun sort of out of left field number 10 pick. So that's why I had it at number 10. I don't think I would rank it any higher. Although, you know, in truth, I was looking at my list and really like match number 5 to number 10. I was sort of like, well, I could put these in any possible order, and I think I would consider them right because they were all very good, but all very good in a similar way where looking back on them, I was like, which one of these did I like most? And I just sort of had to go on my mental vibes to decide. I was like, I guess this one I liked more, but yeah. They all could be. So this could be higher. Some other ones higher up could be lower, but all very good matches. So Kelly, what is your number nine match of the year?
My number nine match comes to us from Marigold, Fantastic Adventure from October 24th in Currican. It was the world title match between Sari and Bozilla. The closest thing we've ever gotten to seeing the full match of Sari versus Aja Kong. Someday the tape will release and we'll see it. But this is the best what we've got so far. Bozilla's best performance, I would say. She looked like she belonged in there with Sari. And just a great brawl. Our two top brawlers brawling.
Brawling all over the place.
Yep.
Well, my number nine match was a Sari match, not the match with Bozilla, though. It was Sari versus Chihiro Hashimoto from Sariism Chapter 3 on January 16th, 2024, my earliest match on this match of the year list. But, you know, it's sort of hard to describe these great Sari matches because they all get described in sort of the same way where it's like hard-hitting, crazy, you know. Near falls, high intensity. They all sort of could be described the same. This one was really good. Hashimoto, again, another Sendai Girls thing, had sort of an under the radar, really great year.
Mm-hmm.
So glad that she's here represented as well. But one of many for Sari on, I know, both of our lists, Kelly, because as we'll talk about soon, really, the definition of 2024 Joshi was Sari.
Yeah.
So Kelly, your number eight match.
My number eight is the Arisa Nakajima retirement match. Is Hiroyo Matsumoto and Hanako Nakamori versus best friends Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto. I just thought this was a wonderful send off for Nakajima. So I had to have it on my list.
My number eight match, Sari Ano versus Natsupoi from Stardom Wonder Rendezvous on July 27th. This one of those matches I really loved, and I had to get it on the list. As I said, I have a lot of very close contenders. This one of those matches where they just killed each other and no one reacted in the crowd. But I love this one, and I had to give them recognition because I still think back on that, how they would just drop each other on their heads to silence, and someone needs to come out and say, it was good.
Yeah.
And they're very good. So really wanted, had some other Stardom matches, had the Mayu Sari match very close from Stardom this year, but wanted to get this one on the list because they both of them deserve some recognition for really all year long, working very hard, often to underwhelming reaction. So
yeah,
good for both of them. And I salute you.
I'm just picturing some old Japanese men in the crowd whispering to each other, like, I liked it better when they would kiss each other.
Well, Kelly, what is your number seven match?
Seven. Yes. This one comes to us from Marigold. It was at Summer Destiny 2024 on July 13th. Io Sky coming from the WWE to wrestle Utami. This one was just great because it was like, holy shit, Io's still, she still exists. She's still there. She can still do these things. Like, she can have an incredible match. She's not gone. It was awesome. Like I loved it. Was like stepping into a time machine for a little bit, and it was like, damn, 2016 is awesome.
Seeing a ghost of your past.
It really was
appropriate during the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ghost of Christmas Joshi.
That's right. Number seven, my number seven match was the Princess of Princess title match from Grand Princess 24. That would be Miyu Watanabe versus Miyu Yamashita. A great match, one of many great matches for Miyu this year. But what you would expect from, I would say, arguably the two top wrestlers in Tokyo Joshi, if not some of the top wrestlers in all of Joshi. But just a great match, a great cap to that show, which, as I said, I really enjoyed. Thought it was super fun. And a big feather in the cap of Miyu in her title run.
Yeah, I've got the same match in my number six slot. Just it was so good to see Miyu's crowning, and it's like, oh my god, she won, she did it, they pulled the trigger. It's happening. And it's just such a wonderful, just joyful moment, and with an incredible match to go with it.
My number six was from Stardom The Conversion on June 22nd. That would be the 10-person Oedo Tai versus Queen's Quest match. And I have to say, I think my top 10 lists bear this out every year. When Stardom really gets a lot of people in the ring doing some funky things, that usually ends up very high up my list of match of the year. The cage
when
matches
Stardom does a Dragon Gate.
Yeah. When they have those cage matches, those have ended up pretty high. You know, I think a little bit, try not to think about this in the after effects of what came after, which was absolutely horrible in almost every way. You know, just try and think of it as a match. As Kelly said, I think Stardom does best with these high energy, high paced matches where they can really show their skill. And it isn't just these sort of big moment singles matches that happen at the top of the card. So really like this one, and have it on my list at number six.
My number five comes to us from Sendai Girls on September 13th. It is Sendai Girls world title match, Mika Iwata versus Saori Ano. This match felt like it had some real hate behind it. Like, these two beat the hell out of each other in a way that's different from the way you see in, like, a Saori match, where it just felt like there is something personal here. Like, there was the bit where I don't recall who it was, who was doing it to who, but someone was sitting on the other's chest and was just slapping the shit out of them. I think it was Saori to Iwata. And it just, it felt real in a way that I don't really think any other match did this year. Like, so these two really just got across feelings of hate so well in this match.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
My number five match of the year is from Marigold Summer Destiny on July 13th. That would be the Marigold World title match, Seri versus Julia. Another great Seri match. I won't say too much because I don't want to take it all from Kelly, because Kelly, your number four match is?
It's Seri versus Julia. This is the match we all wanted. Like, once kind of it became clear that Saori is a Marigold regular, it's just like, all right, how soon can we get her and Julia in the ring for a big main event? And then we got it on this show, and it was awesome. It completely delivered. It was the crazy brawl we all wanted it to be. And it had to end up on my list. It was just shy of meeting the top three, but there's a lot of sorry matches to go around.
My number four match was the semi-main event from Wrestle Princess 5 on September 22nd. That would be the tag title match, the champions Daisy Monkey losing to 1-2-1 million in an awesome match. We talked about it at the time, but really a match where Daisy Monkey showed that they are more than capable than with keeping up with someone like Miyu Yamashita. A great match, you know, sort of a downer ending for many people with Daisy Monkey losing the titles, but really just an all-out war and cemented Daisy Monkey as two wrestlers to really watch out for if people didn't already know that before. I know that we've talked about them a lot in the past, but really a match that you could point to and be like, look, see, here's how good they are.
You know, I think now that I'm thinking about it, Daisy Monkey as a unit really could have been in the most improved category too.
Yeah, that is true. I guess I don't really think about it as like tag teams.
Yeah. But I think they've just gotten so good as a team and are so great at doing tandem moves and all that kind of stuff where it's like, yeah, they've really come a long way. They were good before, but it's just now they're on a different level.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a good pick, but in my brain I was not even like, oh, tag teams. I was like, oh, individual wrestlers. But as individual wrestlers, they both have gotten much better as well. So yeah, I think they could easily be contenders.
And I think it also goes to them just their strength as a team to where as singles wrestlers, they're still not there at that top level. Like just as like a storytelling bit, I think that's really an incredible move to make it so it's not like, oh, they're these super workers all the time. It's like, no, when they're together, they're incredible. When they're apart, they're still good, but they're not at that same level.
Yeah.
And that comes with experience and improving.
Yeah, and we talked about that story on the show, and hopefully, you know, Suzuki has a Suzume. Why did I say Suzuki?
I was like, wait, who's Suzuki? I was so confused. I'm like, who's this person?
It like came out of my mouth and I was like, wrong. Suzume. Sorry. Suzume has a title match on the Itinyon show. And it'll be interesting to see if they continue, which I think they probably will, if they sort of continue that story of, you know, good but not good enough in singles matches and then bringing them back together to maybe win the tag titles again.
Yeah, I hope that's where they go. Oh, and I just realized it was the mission from that Tokyo Joshi Defy show when they kept calling her...
When they kept calling her what?
Suzumi.
Oh, yes.
It infected your brain.
Maybe. I don't know where I was. or maybe I was thinking, well, I could drop it. I could drop it now that the one match that we reviewed on the previous show was Great Okan versus Suzu Suzuki.
What a bad match.
Maybe that was still in my match. And Kelly's review was
bad match.
And that's the only thing we did. But anyway, maybe I was still thinking of that. Maybe that was still haunting me.
Yeah. You know what? Now that never got released. So I do want to talk about it real fast now that we're on this.
Okay, go for it. I'll lay out. Here we go.
Can we just not do intergender matches that are weird? Because like that's the stuff that people are like, well, that's why we can never have this. Because it's just fucking Great Okan trying to shove his fingers in Suzu's butt and then licking them. Like, seriously? We're going to do that? Like, come on. Grow up. Just let them have an actual match. Get out of here with your weeb bullshit. Go back to stalking Okada's wife.
Anyway, now back to our top 10 list. Kelly, what was your number three match of the year?
My number three match was Sari versus Chihiro Hashimoto from the Sariism Chapter 3 show in January 16th. For a long time, this was my number one match of the year. and I love this match. Like, I don't have a better descriptor for this match than Dudes Rock. What's the woman version of Dudes? It Chicks Rock?
Chicks Rock sounds demeaning.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's why I just said Dudes Rock, because that's what this match was.
Because Chicks Rock sounds like something that dudes would say. It doesn't sound like Dudes Rock is something that dudes say about themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what is the equivalent for, like, that a woman would say about fellow women?
Yeah, I don't know. But this
I don't think it's chicks.
No, I don't think it is either. But this is 100% a Dudes Rock match. Just, you know it when you see it. Just people slapping into each other, dropping each other on their heads, being just the strongest people alive with that hit the hardest. It reminded me of, like, peak Big Japan strong division stuff with Sekimoto and Okobayashi. Like, just big slabs of meat smacking into each other. It was a real beef slapper of a match. So yeah, Dudes Rock, unless you can find me a different phrase to use. But yeah, that's what this match is.
Give us a different phrase and we'll use it all the time.
Yeah.
My number three match was from a Seriism, but it was Chapter 5 on September 2nd. That would be Seri and Mayu Iwatani versus Venny and Chihiro Hashimoto. Very much, they just went out and tried to demolish each other.
Yep.
Some crazy forearm strikes, shoot headbutt at one point. Just really wild and crazy stuff. And a good mixture of sort of different skill levels, but not skill levels,
styles. Sort
of skill styles, yeah. Between the four of them, which I think made a really fun match and just was nonstop action from front to back and ruled. So it's my number three match of the year.
That is also my number two match, and I think also falls under the definition of Dudes Rock. Because Sari is the best Dudes Rock wrestler at the moment. There's no one as good as her at being a Dudes Rock wrestler.
Dudes Rock, parentheses, pending new phrase.
Yeah. It's a you know it when you see it style. It's like, oh yeah, Dudes Rock. Yeah, like this was... Mayu was incredible in this match. And it felt like just a match she's not able to have in Stardom. Not like... I don't think they're holding her back or anything, but it's just like, yeah, this is kind of a crazy mashup match that you just don't see super often in that company. And it was just so cool to see it here. And like, also to see her as a small room wrestler again. Because like, when's Mayu worked? What was that, in Shinjuku Face?
Well, in terms of like sort of a big match.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean, where was this show?
Yeah, this was in Shinjuku Face. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in Shinjuku Face. Yeah.
Like, I wish Stardom would run shows there more often, you know, or at all, just because I think it's a cool venue. And like, you get some of the hottest crowds in wrestling in that venue.
Well, my number two pick, I'm going to step once again on Kelly's toes here, which I've now, this is what, three times I've done this?
I think so.
My number two match of the year, Miyu Watanabe versus Ryu Mizunami from Wrestle Princess 5. Kelly sort of already touched on it when he was talking about the feud, but a great match full of sort of callbacks to their previous encounter. Just big time wrestling, some crazy stuff that Miyu pulled out that we hadn't seen before. And really just a phenomenal top tier match. I was so close. I was really torn by one and two, so easily could have flip-flopped one and two and still been very happy. But I went with this as a very close second. But Kelly did not, because
it's my number one. It was really just, it was the payoff of the Mizunami run in Tokyo Joshi. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a run by an outsider that was booked as well as hers. Like, just all around, got a lot of people over. saved Yuki Aeno's career, in my opinion, and then just went out here and had this incredible match. Like, just this is how you book someone like that in this way. Like, you can keep them strong, you use them to put over people even in defeat, and just like, what a match. Mizunami, one of the best workers in the world, in my opinion. Like, just I was like, this is one of those matches where it's just like, yep, this, looking back, I probably should have given this a 5, because it's pretty much perfect. Like, just the all around storytelling, the match, just everything. I think this is, it's probably ending up very high in my overall match of the year, not just Joshi.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was my number 2, but my number 1, for the second year in a row, I have the same match as my number 1 match of the year, is Miyu Momono versus Mayumi Ozaki from the Oz Academy Battle Big Bonus Show on April 28th. This was the sequel to last year's match, which I also had as match of the year, and just a little bit different than the 2023 version. This one a little bit more classic Oz Academy. So some of you listening may immediately turn off upon hearing that descriptor. But I just thought it really comes down, I think, largely to Mio and her ability to be very sympathetic and connect with the crowd. You know, the match starts and the crowd, they're in Oz Academy, so they're cheering for Ozaki. And then by the end of the match, they're cheering for Mio. And really just a great match. I mean, just full of hatred. And, you know, Mio's bleeding in the first 3 minutes of the match. And they're going all around the arena. And then they're back in the ring. And there's 8,000 people running in and out of the ring. And police is there, you know, giving shining wizards to people. And just like, this is my type of wrestling, you know, full of passion. There's all this stuff going on. It's the story of trying to overcome this big bad in Mayumi Ozaki, and just a great match. Exactly what I like in wrestling. Again, very close to being 1-2, but definitely a top tier match, and one if you haven't seen. I know we didn't really discuss it on the show because it sort of fell between recordings or something, or it wasn't up. I don't remember. So we didn't talk about it a lot on the show, but if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend seeking it out if you are a fan of that style of wrestling, because I think it sort of is the peak of that, and something for all the complaints that Oz Academy gets about, oh, it's just about all these people interfering, you know, all the time, blah, blah, blah. I think Ozaki is really good, and I don't know if she's the one laying this all out. I would assume she's doing the majority of it, but in having these flows in the match and having it be, you know, overcoming the odds and all these things that she's done over the years. You know, she had the match a few years ago with Sayori Ano, which usually, you know, those matches usually happen at the Oz Academy Big Show. But just those matches that are so full of, they really feel like fights, you know, they have a sense of, oh, we're not just in the main event and we're sort of trying to hit big matches or big moves to, you know, impress. We're in here and we're going to fight and we're going to try and, you know, slap each other and we're going to knock each other down and all this stuff that I really love. So my match of the year again, for the second year running. Next is promotion of the year. Now, Kelly, you have one promotion listed here that I didn't even consider because I don't consider it a promotion.
Yeah.
But I will let you kick it off with that.
I have Sariism in my 3 spot, and that also, I kind of also want to wrap up the Unagi Produce shows in there too. I just think it's awesome that we have wrestlers just running cool produce shows at the moment, and I am a big proponent of that, and just them booking cool matches. So keep it up, keep up the good work, Sari and Unagi.
This was a tough category for me just because I wasn't really, couldn't really get behind anything much here. That sounds weird, but my number three was Stardom. I thought they had a solid year. I think they've sort of hit the point where they sort of are what they are at this point. There was a couple of years where it felt like they were constantly, hey, we're growing, we're going to be bigger and bigger. Now it feels like they've sort of hit a bit of a ceiling. I think they had some interesting things this year in ring and story wise, and I think they had some bad things this year in ring and story wise. I mean, lost a number of people, not as many as I think many people thought, to Marigold and made it through that. So I think you deserve some, you know, they deserve some credit for seeing Utami and Julia go and sort of just being like, okay, we're keep on going and we have these people, which is great. But I just, I don't think there is the spark with Stardom anymore of, wow, this is something people should be checking out, unless you are a person who already likes Joshi or already knows of Stardom.
There's a lot of credit to be given for losing two of their top stars and their main creative force and still pushing on. And I don't know. I don't really think the losses have affected them that much.
Yeah, I think they've sort of motored along, and I think that's a good thing that they didn't go, oh no, we lost all these people and now we're cratering. But there's also sort of a feeling of just like, okay, we're just sort of going through the motions here and we're doing shows and everything's fine. And yep, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Kelly, your number two promotion of the year.
My number two is Sendai Girls. And honestly, a big part of that comes from, hey, they're up to date on the tape library and we can see their shows. And hey, their shows are good. Like they put out a very entertaining product. And I think while the booking still has issues, they've had decent stuff going on at the top of the card. They've got a really good roster. And I'm very excited to see how they do going into 2025, almost more than any other company at the moment.
My number two is Tokyo Joshi. They're in number two. As we talked about with Best Booker of the Year, I think they did a lot of really good things story-wise, in-ring, elevating Miyu, Daisy Monkey, people like that. I think they did really well, maybe the best that they've done in the past number of years. The only reason they're not number one is that the, you know, drawing didn't really follow that. Maybe it'll come next year when people realize, okay, they're really getting some momentum behind them. But, you know, we talked about Wrestle Princess, which only drew 750 people. You know, not a thing where you look and go, oh, this is a company that's really expanding and growing. It doesn't feel like it's getting bigger. It feels like it's getting better, but sort of at the same level it's always been. I think if they would have been a little bit more successful there, they would have been my easy number one pick. But that's why they're number two for now. Although, once again, Kelly, maybe I should go first on some of these. I don't know. Kelly, you're number one.
Tokyo Joshi is my number one. I feel like we're at the point where I'm like, damn, I don't know what they actually need to do to get people into the shows. Because their booking is great. The shows are good. I don't know. The wrestlers are the roster's great. Like, I just don't know what they need to do. So I'm still sticking them at number one because I think creatively they're at the best they've ever been. The payoff of the Mizunami story with Miyu was incredible. I think they utilized Zara Zocker so well as just this kind of outsider monster who came in and made herself a title challenger out of nowhere. So I thought they did that well. The Daisy Monkey evolution as a team has been fantastic. They've been getting a lot of good rookies and are raising up that next generation. So I think they've got all the building blocks they need. I just guess they haven't arranged them in just the perfect way yet.
My number one promotion of the year, I gave it to Marigold. I don't know if they were actually the promotion of the year, but I found it exciting that you know, we had this whole Marigold thing this year, something we haven't really had in a while, is a, you know, sort of a brand new major promotion in Joshi. So I thought it was exciting. I thought it brought a, you know, eyes to Joshi. We'll see really next year. I'm interested to see sort of what a full year of theirs looks like now that they're established. You know, they sort of had the big shows. Feels a bit like they had some momentum, and now that they're in the month to month more, and it isn't like, oh, everything we do is brand new and, you know, no one knows what we're going to do. We'll see what they do with that. Might slide down, but I think just for the pure excitement of a new company, I put them number one. Next category is Tag Team of the Year. Kelly, do you want to go first or you want me to go first? I'll give you the option.
Let's see. You know what? I'll go first.
Okay.
My number three is the team of best friends, Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto. And this is almost like a Lifetime Achievement Award spot, just because this is the last time I'll be able to put them on the list.
Well, I just before I say my number three pick, I want to say that Kelly chose to go first because my pick is FWC. I don't know that they have like a crazy great year, but I think that they're so consistent in a place where you don't often get that consistency. You know, I think consistent in that they've been around for a while, and consistent in that I know if there's a match with them that it will be good. Hazuki and Koguma. And so I put them there because I think they deserve it. They've done very well. Even if this wasn't their strongest year, they're still very good.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they're my number two. I'm just keeping it going at this point.
Yeah.
They're always solid. You're going to get a good match out of these two pretty much no matter what. And I am a big stickler for like consistency. Like, you can't just be a top of the line wrestler who dogs it anytime you're not like in a featured spot and be considered like my top of the year. So that's why Hazuki and Koguma are my number two, because they're so goddamn consistent and good.
Well, my number two are Bob Momo Banana, the team of Mio Momono and Yurika Oka. I think had a very good year winning tag titles, getting a lot of featured spots. As I've already talked about, Mio, one of my favorites. I think Yurika Oka has been very good as well. One of those like Manami, who felt like, oh, a rookie for a long time and is now really showing up. So they are my number two pick.
And then my number one, which I also share with Taylor, is Daisy Monkey, Arisa Endo and Suzume. We've already talked a lot about them as a team, so I'm not going to keep repeating the same talking points, but just they've become such a great team this year.
Yeah, I think one of those, an obvious pick. I wouldn't have even really considered anyone for the number one spot.
No.
I think they were far and away the number one tag team of the year, so they were my number one pick as well.
Yeah, that was very much a, I slot them in and I'm like, all right, now I got to think of two others.
The second to last category, most outstanding. This is best in ring. Kelly, what was your number three?
Number three is Sierra Yano. This goes back to what I was saying with FWC about consistency. Sierra is always great. And she puts on some killer matches. And honestly, I don't think she gets the recognition she deserves for it. Like, she's had a lot of awesome matches this year. And, you know, she's had some good title runs along with it. So, yeah, she ended up as my number three. I think she was definitely my favorite wrestler in Stardom this year. And, you know, she's out there doing other stuff, too. So,
my number three pick was Ryo Mizunami. I don't know if she had the volume of matches this year, but I think everything she did was really good. Highlighted, of course, by the Tokyo Joshi stuff that we've talked about. But she also main evented the Oz Academy big show, doing a lot all over Joshi. So I think she's really good. I think she's in many ways still under-recognized, so wanted to get her on the list because I thought she had a really great year.
Yeah, our number three slots are very similar in that regard.
Yeah, Kelly, your number two?
Our number twos are also very similar. Number two is Miyu Watanabe. Just the best year of her career by far. She's proven herself to be an incredible champion and has a bunch of great matches, including my favorite match, Joshi match of the year.
Yes, and I was the same, Miyu Watanabe. We've covered it already in the matches of the year and many other categories. So an easy number two pick. Probably would have been able to fight at the top if the number one pick wasn't the most obvious pick of maybe all of these awards, which, of course, Kelly is...
the queen of dudes rock. Sorry. Just, come on. What a year. What wrestler of the year. Not just Joshi wrestler of the year. Wrestler of the year. Sorry.
I mean, probably also could have stopped wrestling in like July and still won.
Yeah. Yeah. And she just kept going. And it's like, oh, okay, even more? All right, pile them on.
Yeah, just a great year. So glad to have her back from retirement.
I know.
You know, it was one, she went so young and it's like, oh, she'll probably come back. But you're always like, well, maybe she won't be as good. Maybe she'll be WWE-ified. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see that she is most certainly not that.
I hope they're never able to lure her back.
I can't imagine she would. I mean, I feel like you do it for a number of years and it's like, well... like, it didn't work out, I guess.
They made me a schoolgirl. Okay.
Yeah. Like, are you like, oh, now I'm 30. Maybe I'll move back to the United States again and wrestle for this company where I was not successful.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of what WWE finds successful. But I hope she stays in Joshi for the rest of it.
Yeah.
But yes, an obvious pick. And then the last category is the Flair Thez Award. This brings into effect drawing as well as in-ring. So Kelly, I will let you go first.
My number three pick is Micah. I think she deserves a lot of recognition for carrying Stardom through a good chunk of the year. And I think she wasn't even given very good booking in her time as champion. But she... made the best of it and had some really great matches, and the fans were into her. So I think you have to have her on the list.
Yeah, Micah is my third pick as well. I think you're totally right that she sort of stabilized the company at a point when they needed it. And also she stabilized the company with the company really sort of giving her no help in doing that, which I think is very commendable. I think she had solid matches at a time when they really needed to just sort of get everything back in order. I think she did very well, so definitely deserves the number three spot. And of course, you know, Stardom is the top drawing Joshi promotion, so should be represented somehow on this list, I think. So she was my number three. Kelly, you're number two.
My number two is Sari. You gotta hand it to her, taking the money from the Hat Man to headline Marigold shows and then pumping it into her own produce shows. That's a worker. That gets you on the list.
My number two is sadly now retired. That would be Julia. I put Julia here. Obviously, it helped Stardom for a long time, but I really think about Marigold. Had Julia not gone with Marigold, sort of what, you know, I know she got injured early on and wasn't on a lot of the early shows, but talk about the year of Marigold with no Julia in it. And I think it's probably much less successful than it was. You know, I know she's not around anymore, so I don't really know how much it counts, but she was my number two pick.
All right. My number one is a little out of the box, but I'm going with Dump Matsumoto, who worked her way into getting a Netflix show and convincing all the work people on the show that she was really hitting people and busting them open with chains, and wrestling is not a fully worked thing. Just what a worker. Number one.
And my number one was Sari. I think she deserves to be at the top of the list. Obviously doing her own shows, which have done well, but also as the flag bearer of a brand new company in Marigold, and also appearing in other places as well. And obviously we've already talked about the in-ring, so she has such a leg up on everyone else in-ring that an obvious number one pick for me. So that is our awards for the year.
Before Hold on.
Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry, Kelly.
We got one more award.
Yeah, we have the biggest award of the year.
The biggest award. The most
moving
award. The 69th annual Rossi Ogawa Memorial Award for Coolest Boobs. I've been talking with the committee, and really there's only one person that could win this award. Just some of the biggest ones you've ever seen. Some of the coolest ones you've ever seen. I've seen them holding water bottles. They'd use them like saddlebags. And but they haven't qualified in years past. But this year, they worked one match in Shinjuku Face on an all-intergender show, teaming with Hiragi Kurumi against the team of Saki and Yamato. This is Ryota Hama. Just some of the best melons you've ever seen. I am so proud to give Ryota Hama this award for coolest boobs. Round of applause, everyone.
First time award winner, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't qualified in past years. He hasn't worked shows that fall under our purview.
Well, there you go. Congratulations. The biggest award of
for the
year.
Biggest, for the biggest yes, boobs.
Well, yes. Before we do some brief discussion about what's been going on, the fantasy draft, there won't be an update this week. I will post at the end of the month the final standings of the year for everyone. I think this will continue next year. We will start over. I think the way it will work is we will repick. We'll each get to essentially save one person from our team if we want to save them, and then pick some new people and then go from there. I will say this, you know, I would love to expand this to any listeners who would like to join in. I think that would be very fun to have a whole pool of people if anyone was interested. I will say the only way that I could possibly do that is if someone figured out a way to make the calculation easier in terms of what's going on with all these wrestlers, especially if we expand it. It takes a very long time for me to calculate the standings because I'm doing it manually based on just looking at Cage Match. So if there are any technical wizards out there who know how I could like scrape Cage Match automatically and add these things together, reach out and let us know. Reach out on Twitter or find us on the Voices of Wrestling Discord, because I would love to expand it to more people, because I think that would be a lot of fun. But we'll go from there and see what happens.
Yeah.
What has been happening? We're just going to talk briefly about just a few things that have happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the Tag League Finals for Stardom just happened a few hours ago as we record. Wingori, the team of Hanan and Saeeda, defeated Hi-Hi Mate, Hanako and Micah to win the Tag Leagues. Tokyo Joshi had an 11th birthday show on December 1st. 121 Million successfully defending their tag titles against Haru Kazushiro and Toga. Sendai Girls just had their big show in Sendai today. I haven't seen it, so I don't know what happens. I believe it aired live on Wrestle Universe. Although maybe that's not true. I feel like I saw something that it was going to air live on Wrestle Universe. Let me look. It did. It is available now. It's on the front page as I speak of Wrestle Universe. So that is available there. That has the big Dash Chizako Mako Satomura title match, main event. Marvelous had a show at Korakuen Hall on the first. Mio Momono and Yurika Oka retained their tag titles against Hayon and Jesse Jackson. So those are a few things that have been happening in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. Big thing is the upcoming shows. Most of the upcoming shows are more than 2 weeks out, so don't have them in our coverage here. But the big Stardom show at the end of the year, Ribbon Mania coming up. We'll see what happens after that. Of course, we have Itin Yon, the January 4th Tokyo Joshi show coming up. All of that we will be covering on our first episode of 2025 for Jumping Bomb Audio. But that is all for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So I throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
For my corner, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners for sticking with us. For me, this year has been very hard, and it's always fun to come on and do this show. Kind of gives me a little escape from whatever horrors have been unleashed upon my life in that given time. And thanks just for everyone for sticking with us, and thanks, Taylor, for sticking with me.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth because I was going to say the same thing. thank you for another year. As I said just a few minutes ago, we are approaching having done this show for five, or me having done this show for 5 years. And Kelly, I think you're close to four.
I think so. Yeah.
In four. So we've been doing this for a long time. And I just want to thank anyone who's listened, anyone who's tweeted at us with compliments about the show, anyone in the Discord who's told us we have a great show. We really appreciate it. It's great doing, and Kelly, it's great doing it with you.
Aww.
And I hope 2025 will be a year where you have no problems at all.
That would be wonderful.
And, I hope you have a blissful 2025, and we will be back in 2025 for another great year of Jumping Bomb Audio. So until then, goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hello. Do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.